Thank you. I lift up my voice. My Eva says to me that I speak very low, so I lift my voice as much as I can after these days of trouble. But praise the Lord. It's good to be here. Thank you for being here. Just a person I am that has been going with the Lord for some years now. And we share what we have learned and where the Lord has led us to this day. And it's becoming our testimony, the testimony of the Lord's working in our hearts. Praise the Lord. As we are talking and thinking about properties and other things that are in the world, and this day of what is supposed to be the peace in Middle East and other things. The world is going on, and nobody knows how to handle things. Men rise and men fall, and on and on. And lately, just the Lord pushed into me the truth. What John saw first in heaven, when the Lord told him, come up hither and I show you the things that are to come after this. And I says I was in the spirit, and I lifted my eyes and I saw a throne and him that sat on the throne. And he starts seeing all these wonderful things. Hallelujah. When you go on and all, you get these creatures that are there, that are being revealed to John, that are praising God for all his creation. He is the great creator and all these things. Then suddenly is found something in his right hand, a book. Locked up, sealed, and there was an announcement if there was anybody worthy to open it, and nobody was found there. John, I don't know why he was crying very much. So he was comforted by one of the elders, and he pointed to him the lion from the tribe of Judah. And he said, he has conquered. And it's worthy to open the book. What a comfort, what a glory. So then the scene changes. We go to the fifth chapter, and there is becoming the center of worship. Not only he that sat on the throne, but also the Lamb. And so there we have these two aspects of who is ruling the world. The great creator, and next to him now, the great Redeemer. Hallelujah. And many, many thousands, innumerable people that are coming to praise him. And all the worship is going to him that sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And that's where the scene closes. And from there on, the seals are opening, opened by the Lamb. And then we get all the sequence of all the other things. Everything is coming. But don't forget, the first thing John sees is the throne. There is a throne. Hallelujah. And whatever is to be seen later on, he that is ruling and he that has the authority and to whom that everything will result in the end, to give, as it were, reason for all their existence and everything they did, is there, the throne. Hallelujah, is the first thing he sees. And praise the Lord. So we see all these things taking place down in this earth. But for us, through the eyes of John, God needed to take us all up there to see this. We have to receive it by faith, believe what John sees, take it put it in the heart and live by it the rest of our lives. He who sits on the throne is the great Creator and our great Redeemer, whom we connect with. We're connecting with him by blood. By blood. Not by law anymore, but we're connected with him by blood. We have become not only acquainted with him, we have become related to him by blood. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In the laws, always you get that, this is my son-in-law. This is my daughter-in-law. This is my parents-in-law, right? But there's a difference from the, this is my son, this is my daughter, these are my parents. Hallelujah. So God is there, and we are related to him through his son, by his blood and his suffering, his offering to purchase us and present us to the Father and make us a kingdom of priests. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, these are the things that we have to dig in and bring them out and let our hearts soak in them and believe them and build our faith on this. These are fundamental truths that will never shake, as the throne is never shakeable. All this is there forever. Praise the Lord. Now, the devil, of course, would try to show his power and his strength, his ideas, etc., to take us off from there. But how have we have the unshakable position of faith? God is on the throne, and that God is my God through his son Jesus. Amen. Now, I say this because there is so much going on. Some years back, I was in England, and I set off to study a bit on what I was 85 or something like that. Set off to study about the end times. I'm not a scholar. I'm not a person that went to a Bible college. I'm just digging, trying to discover the truth myself. That time I went to the 24th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. And there I read, you know, it was just at the time that the Lord said to Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that kills the prophets and stones them that are sent to you, to them. How many times have I desired to gather you like the way of a hen under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left desolate. I say to you, you will not see me from now on until you say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Right now, the Lord departed. Somehow I think it was finished. And the house was deserted. It was deserted from the life, from him that was the life of all their history, of all their legalities or the constitutions and everything. He was the essence of it all. He left, he departed. And when he went out of the temple and walked away, his disciples came to him to show him the great edifices of the Holy Temple, the temple And he answered to them and said, "Don't you see these things? I say to you truly that it will not be left a stone upon stone that shall not be demolished." Hallelujah. What a terrible, what a tremendous prophecy. But you see, they came, the disciples, they were not of the new generation as yet. They were looking at the outward things. That was the Old Testament. It was just God was just outside there. The Kyriakos was reading a psalm the other day. He was reading it, and I had the feeling, the sense that says he's calling upon God outside him. And I saw it and I thought, yes, that's right, that's the Old Testament. Was God with them, but it was outside them. And then all they saw was what was in the eyes, to the eyes. So there was appealing to the eyes. Now, I'll just be digressing here and there. You realize that the whole modern generation is based on the eyes, on the sight, on the scenery, on the computer, on the iPad, on the telephone, on all these things. What I see, I believe. But that's not the generation of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is based on faith, on the things that they don't see. Hallelujah. And Jesus, the Lord, says, yes, don't you see these things? They will be demolished. Okay? Praise his name. And so he goes on, he says, while he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him privately, asking him, "Tell us, when shall this be, all these things? And what is the sign of your presence and the end of the age?" Hallelujah. Three questions, basic questions. As it were, the Lord was waiting for the Spirit to move these disciples to ask these questions so that he would answer and place the rest of the story to them, at least in their ears. And he says, he answered and said to them, "See that you are not deceived. For men shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many," and goes on. All right. Now, if you read this 24th and 25th chapter, you will find basic things that the Lord says. He describes conditions that will come about, but when within that, you will find that he gives the answer and what we should know while these things are taking place. Of course, this is the whole story of the church. We are part of it towards the end. But this says here, he says, "Don't be deceived." Okay. Now, at that time, I stopped here because suddenly the Lord said to me, at the end, it will be a time of lots and lots of deceptions. Okay. Now, ever since, I have seen so many, so much. I was in England, I saw so much in England taking place. This, the other, the other, the other. And I was sticking to the Bible, because the Lord gave us the key. The Bible is a key for us, for the Christian. Woe to the Christian that does not read and study and dig into the truth of the Bible to discover. And as we dig in and as we fight, as it were, to bring out the truth, the Spirit is there always to bring us up the truth. He says, this is that. Of course, it may take some time, but we have to be at it all the time, reading the Bible, reading our Bible. I don't mean all day we're reading the Bible, but I mean it's our, the book of our life, the book that we are seeking for, to discover, to understand and know the heart of God and the truth. Hallelujah. Amen. Number next to it is the prayer, of course. And alongside to that is the church. Amen. The church, it says, is the settlement and the basis of truth. That's where we should attend ourselves to. So I saw many things. Now, through these times, I realized one, two, three things. The first thing is that we are deceived on how we interpret the name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus. Okay? The basic question for his church and his people is, who do you say that I am? It's not what somebody else says, or what I read in a book, or these things, but Jesus is pointing to our hearts, and he wants to bring out the testimony, which is born there by the Spirit. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, that's the establishment of the church. That's where it's based. Now, many people come and they don't want to know him. They want to know this. They want to know his blessings. They want to know they're feeling better or things like that. You have many examples, I suppose, in your life to see and gather all these things. And I say these things, my brethren, because it's one that's the most essential key we have to have. A constant, deep relationship with the Lord. Whatever happens, let us always keep that relationship alive forever, whatever happens. Men shall come in my name. They'll do this, they will do that, the other. Men shall come seeking for signs, for wonders, for this, for the other. Hallelujah. But the heart of the bride, and that's what I'm talking about, the heart of the bride is this: where is my beloved? Who is this beloved that you love so much more than this? And I said, my beloved is the one, the only one. I don't want anybody else. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. A dear brother of us went to be with the Lord on Thursday. Israelite, very, very precious man. This man was taken two or three times to heaven by the Lord, came back. Last Thursday, he was taken by the Lord forever. And I was thinking, I said, whatever he saw in the previous times, now he is in the presence of the Lord whom he loved. Hallelujah. I said, what a glorious end. But we have to work at it now. Lord, I don't want anything else. I don't want, how it is, my goal is God himself. No, not even blessing, but himself, my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Many, many wonderful blessings are from the Lord given to us. But where is our heart? That's where the basic deception is. Now you can read about it in the Jude letter and other places. Judah writes, says, I strove very much to write to you concerning our common salvation. And when I did that, I came to this conclusion that I should write to you concerning the truth, the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Hallelujah. Built on that, he says. Built on that. Amen. Faith in the Lord Jesus. And when he God continues, he says, for many have entered into the churches, denying the Lordship of the Lord Jesus. Instantly, the first thing that is the deviation from the truth is denying the Lordship of Jesus. Hallelujah. Him God has made both Lord and Messiah and Christ. Him. Amen. The next thing I find that follows close to this and connected to this is the cross of Christ. Paul went on to say, we preach Christ and him crucified. It was not an uncrucified Christ, but the crucified Christ, which means also a resonance, a respective working in my heart as my personal cross. He who would like to follow me, let him deny himself, take his cross and follow me. Two basic things. Now I found many through the years that when you put to the test anything that came up, hallelujah. The latest I had, so perhaps you know it already, the latest I had, it was e-church. You've heard of that. That means electronic church. Well, do you believe there's an electronic church? Hallelujah. We're reading this morning and I said, you know, church means fellowship. That means communion in the Greek. Communion. And we're communing the flesh and blood of Jesus, the real Jesus, the real Christ. And I thought, Lord, what a wonderful thing. He says to his father, Father, I want where I am that they be with me. Hallelujah. That's the true communion. And that's the church. Where I am, they be with me. Not on a computer a thousand miles away and talking, etc. Please don't take me wrong. Praise the Lord for all these means that gives us to overcome obstacles like distance, etc. But church is reality. Church is flesh and blood. Hallelujah. Or else he would have stayed in heaven and say, I send you the gospel, you believe the gospel, and I don't know, but he says he partook of the same, like his brethren, of flesh and blood, to come and live and be with us. And John continues and says, our fellowship, our communion is with him, him who, that we have seen, that we have shared, that we have handled. Hallelujah. This is our communion, he says. Praise the Lord. The communion with one another. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So it goes on and on and on. These things. But always put it to the test. Is that Christ? And secondly, is the cross involved in this? Hallelujah. And the third thing I found that is the next thing that is being attacked by the devil, because he is behind it all, okay, is the church. The church and the fundamentals and the foundations of the church. Many have come. I have seen so many changes, so many things concerning the church. What is the church? Is you and me related to Christ? That's what comprises a church. And when we are together in it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, you see, all these things we have to put to test all the time. Amen. Sometimes I say there should be a ministry in the church, a ministry that is centralizing the church all the time, centralizing the church on the person of Christ, centralizing, because there's a tendency as we live in this world to go on off tangentially, like the sparks of a turning wheel. Hallelujah. And we must be centralized always onto this, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, his cross. I don't want to know anybody else, anything else, Paul said, but Christ and him crucified. Hallelujah. That's what he preached, that's what he lived. So here we go. And so all these things have been coming on and on and on. And like the old times, you know, there were these false gods and goddesses and all these idols. And they were worshipped here and there, greatest Artemis, Diana of Ephesus, and all these the deities, the Roman deities, the Egyptian deities, and all this. Hallelujah. But where the church is moving on in the truth, now is discovering all these deceptions. And when it's discovered, then as it were, the serpent goes behind another tree to hide and start bringing another deception. The other day we were talking with a man, and we're discussing this, and he also were having a bit of argument. In the end, I asked him this question. I said, what is the answer to death? Hallelujah. Of course, you could not answer. Because everybody is scared of death. Except when it comes to the Lord Jesus. But you see the Old Testament, for example, you get the peak of wisdom, a man called Solomon. When he wrote this, the other, he said, I did this, I ran there, I built this, I enjoyed that, I gave myself to this pleasure and to that and to the other. And then what is the end? He said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. But no answer to the death aspect. So, Paul went to Athens, the peak of philosophy and wisdom there. And he preached to them Christ. But he had to come to the end, to this point. God has set a day. He's inviting everybody to repent because he has set a day in which he will judge the universe, all right, whole world, in a man. Who is this man? Whom he raised from the dead. And instantly that was the breaking point. Instantly they started again, said, oh, get off, you know, what's this? What are you talking about? There is no such thing. See? The resurrection from the dead. Hallelujah. And I said to myself, well, really, when we argue with a person, that's the question to praise. What is your answer to death? Has any philosopher risen from the dead? Has any religious person raised from the dead? Anybody, any system, anything? God, tell me, somebody who has overcome death. Hallelujah. Even his people didn't believe him. Martha, for example, when he went to the tomb with Lazarus, he said, "Lord, the Lord said, your brother will be raised." She said, "I know he will be raised in the last day." We have all these cliches and all these ideas, and we're really deceived until we meet with the truth. And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe in this? He who believes in me shall never die. He who believes in me," etc. Amen. "Do you believe this?" The Lord shocked her heart, this woman, when she heard this. "I am the resurrection and the life." But nobody believed him. Not even the disciples, when he was raised from the dead, they wouldn't believe until they saw him. The epitome was Magdalene, Thomas, of course, who said, "Unless I put my..." And the Lord came to give him that gracious gift, as it were. "Come, touch. I am alive forevermore," said to John. "I was dead, but I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of death and hell." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's the Lord we know. How do we know? Go to the letter of Peter. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has begotten us again, regenerated us again, unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Hallelujah. Where do you have the answer to death? I have it in my heart. It's in my heart. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's not anymore of the Old Testament, a God out there to whom I reach and say, "Lord, help me, deliver me from this, deliver me from that," etc. We come to the glorious position of the new covenant that Paul declares to us. This is the mystery, he says. Christ in us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we strive to present every man perfect in Christ. Him in you and you in him. This is the note of the New Testament. That's where we are not deceived at all. We know him. We know whom we have believed. Praise his name. And we belong to him. He that sits on the throne is sitting in the throne of my heart also. Amen. But how do we know? It says, when we taste. This is the taste. And we grow on to the full measure. We are tasting now. Hallelujah. And we continue in faith. Paul writer says, you have died, and your life is kept with Christ in God. When Christ, your life, will appear, you will appear in glory. Therefore, he says in the Colossian verse, he says, this is the hope of glory. We're waiting, we're looking forward to the day, day out. It's becoming sweeter, and as we grow nearer and nearer to him, it's becoming more real. Hallelujah. One day, either personally or together, all of us, we shall be utterly taken up with him, the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So, praise the Lord. And I was thinking again about this. what do you call it? This artificial artificial thing, a mind. You know, this is based on the tree of knowledge. And it's becoming more and more. God is taking over the whole world. I'll read you a verse which I somehow started connecting it. Just read it to you. You can think about it. It's in the Thessalonian letter, it's the second letter. Well, but Paul says that here this man will appear by the energy, by the working of Satan in all power and signs and wonders and great things and major lies. All right, this is in Second Thessalonians, second chapter, verse 9 and 10. And in all deception of unrighteousness to them that are lost, because they have not received the love of the truth, that they should be saved. And therefore, God is sending them a deception to believe in the lie, that they may be judged. Those that have not believed in the truth, but they enjoy it as well, the unrighteousness. And I thought perhaps this is part of it, you know, part of it. That people are running after this. I don't know how it will develop, but the whole world is running after that. What is it? What it makes? It nullifies faith in God. Nullifies faith in God. Hallelujah. But we are chosen to believe and chosen to work out, as it were, this salvation that was given to us. Salvation that is not by our making, neither of anybody else, but salvation that God did for us. And he's giving to us, and we enter in, not by our efforts, neither by our ingenuity or philosophy or wisdom, but by simple faith. We enter and live for his glory. Amen. Okay, I think I'll finish here. Just let my heart go and share with you. These are some of the things that my heart was moved these last days. There is a throne. Hallelujah. And whatever the devil does, whatever human beings do or anything, he that sits on the throne is the immovable, eternal God. And with him is our Redeemer. And we relate with him through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. I'll let you to share and make comments if you'd like. Thank you. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for giving us the Lord Jesus
Yes.
in all his fullness, in all his perfection. Hallelujah. You haven't in any way held back. You have given him in all his fullness, and we rejoice in that. And we thank you that you have poured out your spirit to be the one that helps us to see him. And this is what we ask. Enable us to see him every day, all day.
Amen.
Blessed be your name. You haven't given him just for part time. You have fully given him. And in that we rejoice and
Amen.
give you
Amen.
glory and give you praise, for you
Amen.
are Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Him, our Amen. Confidence lies, our trust is in him to carry us wherever you would have us go. Blessed be your name. So as we go on our way, let it be rejoicing in you.
Amen.
And giving you glory, honor, and praise, for you are indeed the worthy one. Blessed be your name.
Amen.
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 Amen.